This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Yes, the United Kingdom. Even the United States of America. And now, who would have ever thought the European Union, too? What are the globalists thinking? Is the progressive socialist movement of a one world order finally coming to an end? Is this wave of growing nationalism finally destroying the control of this world without borders agenda? Well, stay with us as we redress our prophetic times.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another international edition of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, I don't know how many of you have been noticing, but there is an enormous movement, a wave going across the landscape of all nations around the world of a movement called nationalism. That's right. Now, I know some of you may be a bit hesitant in embracing that term simply because of the aggressive tone, the domineering implication, perhaps the more controlling notion that it provides. But much like populism, they are one and the same. I mean, populism, many of us are more used to hearing here lately in the news by many of the pundits, and I have to admit it's a bit more easier to accept, to embrace, softer in sound, and a bit more popular in many respects. But the fact of it is, when you really get down to it, populism and nationalism are one and the same. Essentially, it means that the common man has finally gotten some leadership representation where his voice now and his interests are actually going to be heard. And now he's able to kick back on the alleged elitists who've been taking advantage of him for many years, pushing and advancing their interests and their policies. And so needless to say, a lot of nations around the world are finding this very popular and are quickly embracing this nationalism, this populist movement. And of all things, interestingly enough, it all seems to have gotten legs in the United Kingdom with the Brexit movement, of all things. That's right, my friends. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with Brexit, it's the term being used by the United Kingdom to indicate its departure, its initiative to exit the European Union. And against all odds, of all things, no one thought it was going to pass. Here, lo and behold, as we speak, the United Kingdom is indeed contemplating and taking steps to exit the European Union. The United States also, here most recently in a hostile election cycle, saw Donald Trump beat the favored candidate, Hillary Clinton, of all things, also against all odds. Everybody, including many of the polls, all had Hillary Clinton pretty much a shoo-in for the presidency of the United States. But here, some, in their opinion, mandated a win, Donald Trump, that is, by taking 304 electoral votes to her 227. Also, he won 31 states to her 19. And as I say, some considering that to be a mandate. And of all things, him winning the presidency of the United States. But if that wasn't enough, believe it or not, in and within the boundaries of the European Union, 8 to 10 additional countries right now are contemplating referendums to also, as the United Kingdom is doing, to exit the European Union. That's right, my friends. Countries such as Finland, the Netherlands, Sweden, Denmark, Austria, Hungary, Slovakia, and even France. The most recent presidential candidate, Marine Le Pen, she too claims that if indeed she is elected, she will submit for a referendum to exit the European Union, along with, believe it or not, even Germany. Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, is feeling some heat on her re-election opportunity and is considered, and actually worrying about whether or not she will be able to be and win her re-election. What is going on? Could we be seeing the dismantling of the European Union? Is it coming apart through this nationalism movement that seems to be taking the world by storm? Even Mexico, my friends, is feeling the burn and actually considering slogans like Mexico First. That's right. They are seemingly tumbling to their own national responsibility to take care of their own. Like I said, what is going on? What is it that we're seeing occur on the world stage? The geopolitical soup obviously is being stirred. But why? And who is doing the stirring? Well, we're going to answer some of these questions and address some of these issues on today's program. But before I do, as we normally do, let me interrupt myself to present to you our free offers on today's program. Both of them are CDs, both 1 hour long, approximately, one titled Reviewing Our Prophetic Times, and the second one titled Closing In on Revelation 18. Both are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number 578-8791. Ask the operator for both of these items. And again, I repeat, Reviewing Our Prophetic Times and Closing In on Revelation 18. And by the way, our website there, www.cgi.org, you can order that right there. That is these offers off of the website as well. And don't forget about that feature that we've got on the website, the feature of webcasting. You can tune in real time and hear an actual live sermon or presentation being given by a minister of the Church of God International or a special speaker visiting the areas that we have linked. And you can see these links and find the times displayed there on our homepage. All you've got to do is hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. So one more time, that phone number, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of those free offers, Reviewing Our Prophetic Times and Closing In on Revelation 18, and we'll get them off to you as soon as we can. So welcome back here to the program. We've been talking about this issue of populism. But honestly, if the truth were known, I think what we're beginning to see more effectively and more clearly is nationalism. That's right, nationalism versus socialism. Or perhaps free trade sovereign states or free trade sovereign nations against globalists or one world order guys and people, if you know what I'm saying, that particular movement. I mean, I can't even believe I'm talking like this because 20, 25 years ago, this kind of jargon would be confined to conspiratorial talk. But the fact of it is, these things are what we are indeed beginning to see. It's amazing, my friends. But regardless of what you might want to label it, the fact of it is, something's happening. Something's going on. Something's stirring. There's a transition happening right before us. And it's not surprising. You know as well as I do, if you are regular viewers of the Armor of God, we believe that God is in charge. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus Christ, His Son, Savior, and Messiah, our High Priest. He is steering the course. Your Bible is loaded with that information. In Daniel chapter 2, he talks about he is in charge of the seasons, how he basically takes charge of who he puts in leadership roles, kings and emperors, and how he takes them out. In Daniel 4, we know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, the very egocentric, narcissist type of king there in Babylon, who had to learn the very hard lesson that Daniel revealed to him that God wanted him to get. And that was very simply that he, God, not Nebuchadnezzar, was indeed ruling the nations and steering the course of mankind. Notice over here in Isaiah chapter 40, in the book of Isaiah, we read in this particular case that God, he himself, is the one who is again in charge to this theme. In verse 15, we read, look at this. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Notice here in verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth. Too bad not too many people read that scripture years ago, or they would have probably figured out that the earth wasn't flat a lot earlier. Nevertheless, he says and goes on here, the prophet does, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. He that brings the princes to nothing, he makes the judges of the earth as vanity. That's right, my friends. God has written a prophetic script, which is nothing more than history in advance. You see, because the Bible is all about his story, his agenda. God is indeed the one who is steering the course. Without question, he is driving the vehicle. And many people don't really recognize this for what it is, and they should. And if they would, they would understand that a lot of the things that we see are due to the fact of God adjusting the course. Just because we see a lot of helter-skelter circumstances going on, let's say, for instance, in Europe, of all things, here the European Union, for some of us, we can't believe the epicenter of globalism coming apart, beginning to unravel, of all things. Some of us perhaps thought that it would become and mature into what was going to be viewed and recognized as the super beast, you know, the world ruling government that would ultimately fight Jesus upon his return. And here, lo and behold, of all things, it is beginning to disassemble. And yet you can't really question or not understand it simply because Europe is going through a lot of problems. There are a lot of issues that are challenging the very stability of the European Union as it sits. And quite frankly, what your Bible describes as the beast in Revelation, you know it as well as I do, does not square with what we see in the European Union. It was a natural for a nationalist, populist movement to emerge and surface within the European Union due to lack of opportunities, jobs, high taxes, overburdening many of the people, limiting their lifestyles, and of course, the elephant in the room that no one really wants to talk about, which is all of this unvetted, unqualified, untested immigration of civilian Muslims just flooding in to Sweden, to Germany, to France, Switzerland, so many places that are being bombarded by this civilian invasion of Muslims, and of which many of the nations are not happy about this. So the fact of it is, for nationalism to emerge up and to surface in the line of play, in the arena of the public square, why, it is not at all confusing. But that does not dismiss the fact that your Bible still claims very clearly that there is a world ruling system, highly influential in many respects and in many ways, that is indeed going to take the world by storm. and deploy controlling methods, controlling mechanisms, a mark that we're told that if you don't have, you won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, you won't be able to eat, you won't be able to have a job, you won't be able to be a citizen of the system, a sociocrat. You wouldn't be able to function in it without this mark. And many of us are well aware of the fact now, especially since of WikiLeaks leaks, and of course, information arrived at from a gentleman named Snowden and a transgender named Manning. We understand that surveil type of methods and techniques and tactics are indeed being used to where even your Samsung television in your own home is being hacked, of all things. So the technology is there, and whatever this mark is going to be deployed for the control of the population of this amazingly dominating socialistic system. Notice over here in Revelation chapter 18, we read a little bit about what this system is going to be like and how it peaks in the size and scope and magnitude of its accomplishments on and in the world. Now, I get it. Revelation 18 is actually a description of its, what you could say, discontinuation and destruction. But in between the lines, you can get an idea, a little bit of just what it was able to accomplish and how much the world benefited from it and how large of a benefactor it was to all the nations of the world. Notice this over here, Revelation chapter 18, and in verse 3 we read, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." All this means is they had intercourse, they had interplay, export, import. They all benefited from sharing in the wealth of this gargantuan, huge, humongous system that dominated the world. We read in Daniel chapter 7 as well some of the accomplishments of this great system that we find being described here in Revelation 18. But of all things, my friends, notice this in verse, dropping down now to verse 11. "And the merchants of the earth, they shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore." What merchandise? Notice verses 12 through about 14 is all described of the much wealth and all of the assets that this system had that it was sharing with so many of the nations that it was having intercourse with and interplay. And notice here in verse 15, "The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." They're sad that God, as you read further down into this chapter, takes basically this system down upon the return of Jesus Christ. We learn very clearly that this system is directly connected, as we read in Revelation 13, I'll just reference it, verses about 1 through 4, describes its roots, its DNA is ensconced in the Babylonian, Persian, Medes, and Greco-Macedonian Roman origins. It is a Babylonian Greco-Roman system that is going to surface up on the geopolitical scene, and of which is going to take on a very domineering role in its processing and in its influence and control of the world. But my friends, we are not there yet. We're nowhere near this situation or set of circumstances yet. However, interestingly enough, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, but it seems like that we've seen this happen before, maybe perhaps about 80 or 90 years ago, in the 1930s, when nationalism began to surface again out of the rubble of World War I. Basically, in principle, and that's what I'm talking about, in principle here, it seemed to have taken roots in the hearts and minds of the common man at that time that was suffering, and it created tensions. Oh yes, my friends, it did in fact create many tensions, and we understand it ultimately led to World War II, and I'm not saying it's exactly the same. But I am saying that there are similarities, some similarities, at least it seems that way, in that there is another emergence of nationalism, again, gripping the interest of the world. Except uniquely, this time, it's a worldwide phenomena. It's not just focused in a small country called Germany. This time, it's catching on around the world. It's like the Arab Spring. It's a wave going across many nations. Many landscapes of countries and geography are attaching and latching on to this train of nationalism versus globalism. Again, I can't even believe I'm talking like this. As I said 20 years ago, you would think I'm talking conspiratorial. But the reality that we're seeing around us is a globalist trend, a globalist movement has been, or at least is in the risk and danger of being, derailed. Think of it. We've got the United Nations. For the last 6 to 7 decades, this side of World War II, the world has been gravitating more toward a one world order. You have the United Nations, as I was saying. You have the World Trade Organization. You have the World Court. You have the International Monetary Fund. I could go on and on with international organizations that have been trending in their genesis and emerging onto the world scene, giving the notion that we're all headed toward this one world order. Like Hillary Clinton's book says, it just takes a village. And what's that all about? What that's about is erasing all of the boundaries of the countries. No boundaries. No boundaries of the world. We're all just one happy, big human race family on planet Earth. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, you have this nationalism raise its head against the one world order people, the globalists. And guess what? You've got tension. You've got tension growing beyond one's comprehension. There is a lot of angst right now in the air on how to figure out what in the world is going to happen and how is it going to happen and which way and in what direction are we actually going to go in. And it's really, what you could say, disconcerting for a lot of people in some respects, because the world right now is in a change. There is a transition. There is a conflict between globalism and nationalism. There is a movement, a attempting to dismantle, to detach itself, to cut the tether of the globalist trend. How does that happen? With pain, my friends. And guess what? Nationalism is doomed to fail. Why do I say that? Turn with me over here to Revelation chapter 17 for a moment. Revelation chapter 17, a very interesting statement is made, because this is where we're going. This adds clarity to what target, what the objective is, and where God is leading us on this adventure, on this journey. Notice this here in Revelation chapter 17 and in verse 11. We read, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven." And if you get the gist here, what we're talking about is a dictator who comes on the scene, and his roots, his connection is basically connected with the seven-headed beast there described in Daniel 7. And it says here, basically, that he is of the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. This beast goes into perdition. He has a destiny. As you will see, he is going to meet his destiny by fighting Jesus Christ. But before we get there, notice this. Verse 12, "And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So these guys pool their assets together, their wealth, and they give it to the beast for 1 hour, a short time. "And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast." So here we have a socialistic coalition described here in the end time that in the next verse explains to us that is the system, my friends, that fights Jesus Christ upon his return. And of all things, all I can say again is we are not there. The fact is, somehow, we've got to get from where we are to where this is describing a system that is not yet manifested. How do we do that? Because there is some reason for this nationalistic intervention, if I can call it that, that is going on. The real question, my friends, the real question is, what is that reason? There are some major obstacles that are preventing this from happening. And most recently, they've manifested onto the geopolitical landscape in the form of the nationalistic movement of the United States of America, the United Kingdom, and the epitome of nation borders, of one nation, sovereign right nation, right to exist, and that is the nation of Israel, we know as that nation of Jewish people over there on the east side of the Mediterranean Sea. These three pockets, my friends, are very strong populist, nationalist movements that are preventing the globalists from moving forward with their agenda to achieve a one world order. When one begins to recognize how threatening this is to the globalists' intent, one then begins to, or at least should be able to begin, to understand the enormous threat and danger we are entering into. That's right, my friends. How is this all going to play out? I'm not sure, but I do know this. Let me suggest an idea for consideration. Very simply, through much tribulation. As I say, we have a lot yet ahead of us. Time's running out on me. I want to get back to just presenting to you the offers that we have here today. Both are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791, reviewing our prophetic times and closing in on Revelation 18. Both of these will help you to have a better and more comprehensive understanding of what I've been trying to talk about here and share with you a little bit in this short amount of time that I've had. I've really only been able to scratch the surface. Again, both of these offers are free. Dial the number, 888-578-8791. Hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. My friends, these are dynamic times. These are really dynamic times, and we are entering into something that is happening right before our eyes. All I can tell you, and I encourage all of you, get right with God. Take the time right now, repent of your sins, consider baptism, and start modeling your life after Jesus Christ immediately. Why? So that you, my friends, can put on the armor of God and be prepared and suited so that you might be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.